Good morning, everyone. Today's scripture is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, I still had no peace of mind because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God.
Good morning, Antioch. How are we today? You're good? All right. Yeah, that's great. Good. It's good to see everybody here early for our education hour and getting connected that way. This morning, to get us started in our message, before we look further into this passage, I want to just show you some pictures. Can I show you a couple of pictures? Yeah, everybody likes to see pictures, right? The first one is this family from, should I tell the year? This is from... That is my family, my dad, that big giant handlebar mustache, and my mom there, my sister, and then can you tell which of the three boys would be me? The yellow shirt. That's Pete. That's my brother Pete. I'm the one on the little swing. Yep, I'm the baby of the family, very proudly. Baby of the family has its privileges, so that would be me. So, yeah, it's kind of fun to be able to show a picture. If I can display a picture, it tells you a little bit more about me. So I was looking through just randomly and found another picture. I thought, oh, I think I'd like to show you this one. One time I ran into the Iron Sheik. Now, if you're not older, you won't know who that is. He was a pro wrestler back in the days of Hulk Hogan. You heard of Hulk Hogan? So he was a contemporary. They wrestled each other. So I ran into him one time, and I'm like, I have to get a picture. Kimberly's like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I'm like, yes, I do. So I went up, I got a picture. And then that worked out really well, so I decided I would throw him in a headlock. And he looks pretty intimidated there. I could tell. He did charge me to take those pictures with him, but it was worth it because I get to show him. Pictures are a lot of fun. They can tell us a little bit about something that's important to us. We can show pictures of what we value. We can show what our experience is. There was one time, and I enjoy taking pictures. One time we went to the zoo. Then when our kids were little, and my sister let me borrow her nice Nikon camera. You know, we only had like these little cheap ones, so I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so much fun. I think I took 300 pictures at the zoo that day on this really nice camera. The pictures were gorgeous. We got home, and I'm going through the pictures with Kimberly, and we're going through and more pictures, and she says, did you take any pictures that have our kids in them? Like, I forgot. They were all like pictures of the animals. They're like, these are really cool pictures. I don't care. We went as a family. Apparently, that was important. What would happen if God gave you a photograph of Jesus? If you actually had a picture of actual Jesus, not just like an artist's rendering or a guess, but like a picture that actually displayed who he is, his character, his attributes, what would you do with that photograph? Frame it, make copies of it. Yep. Post that baby online. Somebody would just turn it into a meme. So what's... I mean, what would you actually do with that? How do we display Christ? This passage teaches us some ways, some specific ways that in your life, as you walk with God, you display Christ. Jesus can be seen in me and in you. And Paul's talking about that here. He wants to describe some specific ways that we actually put Christ on display in the way that we live our life. And so we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. There's some text on the screen, but I'd like to just ask you to pull it up on your... there's these things called the Bible that have paper in them. Some of you have those. You can open that to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If you have a phone and you want to pull it up there, close all your other apps and pull it up there. No distractions. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, not really. We're going to take a look at this. Paul wants us to know that we actually do display Christ to the world. You are the picture of Jesus. And you're the only picture of Jesus a lot of people might ever see. And the way you display Christ matters. So before we look in this text, would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we pray over your word and over ourselves and ask that you would come and meet with us here and help us. We know that when we respond to you in faith and you save us, you give us your Spirit. And so we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would do his work of illuminating us, shining light on your word and in our minds to help us understand. And Lord, we give you permission to shine light on places in our hearts that we need to understand and address as well. So Lord, we just pray that you would guide us through this, help us to see how we show Christ to the world. Amen. As we look at this, I want to give a little bit of context to where this picture comes into play. Right before Paul talks about how we display Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he tells a couple of verses of context, and he says this starting in verse 12. Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me, pause. Remember, last week we looked at Paul's prayer requests. And like in several places, he's telling the church, hey, would you pray that God would open a door for me so I can preach the gospel boldly and clearly? Well, here it is. He did. So he says, I went to preach the gospel there. I found the Lord had opened a door for me, but I still had no peace of mind because I didn't find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went to Macedonia. Like, oh, you're ready to hear the gospel. I have a chance to preach it. I'll preach it a little bit, but I'm really looking for my friend. So he went to another town to find Titus. It's interesting. See, Paul had sent Titus. Titus was his mailman. Paul wrote a letter to this church in Corinth. We call it 1 Corinthians. Some call it the painful letter. Because the church was struggling big time. And in 1 Corinthians, he's like, you guys are having a problem. He lays it out like 15 issues. He calls them out on their arrogance. I mean, all of this stuff. And he sends this letter, and he's thinking, this is a heavy-handed letter. I don't know how they responded. That's his concern. Like, did they reject this? Did they just get mad when they read it? Or did they get humble? That's why he wants to find Titus, to see how they responded to the painful letter. If we skip forward a few chapters, 2 Corinthians 7, 5-7 gives us more insight. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn, conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. They found him. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. For he told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, and that my joy, so that my joy was greater than ever. Paul's like, oh, you got the letter and you heard what I had to say. You listened to it. You responded. And he was excited for that. And that's why he kind of bursts out in this thankfulness moment here to talk about how we display Christ in verse 14. That happened. He's glad. And so he says, but thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. So in this, we see the first way that we display Christ, that Christ is seen or pictured in us. We display Christ's victory to the whole world. Jesus displays his victory over sin in us. And Paul uses an illustration or an image, a word picture that we might not understand. So think about some that we do understand. If I were to say, Gabe ran a victory lap after the race, what does that mean? What does that tell you? He won. He won the race. And so he did another victory lap to kind of soak in the glory of his victory. Right? We all understand what that means. Or if I say, when we did Jim's funeral and they did a 21-gun salute, what does that say? He was in the military. Yep. So they gave him this honor for his service. So we understand those word pictures. In this one, Paul says that Christ leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Back in the Roman days, when the Roman army would conquer a city, sometimes they would celebrate that city by throwing a parade called a triumphal procession. And when they would throw that parade, they would actually have the general who led the charge would be like in a big ornate chariot or something. They would also have the people who fought valiantly would be in the parade. And then they would have this huge section of the parade with all the prisoners of war. And they would have to march along in submission to show, look, we beat you. And we'll beat you again if you uprise against us. So it was this way of showing this, and Paul is using that picture to say, I'm actually one of the captives in a triumph showing off Jesus' victory. As I'm going around, look at this, I've been captured by Christ. It reminded me too of back. I remember this well when we invaded Iraq, Operation Desert Storm, and I had some friends who were on the ground in that thing, and one of them told me, he walked in, he's like, I'm a communications guy. I'm like hardly armed at all. I literally have a sidearm. They cross in, they come in on this invasion, and hundreds of elite Iraqi forces came out of holes in the ground laying down their ammunition, asking to be taken captive. Their supply lines had been cut off a long time ago. They hadn't eaten in a long time. And they were demonstrating, I would rather be a POW of you than an elite soldier in Iraq, because we can't even eat. Right? They recognize the reality of their situation. And so do we when Christ comes to us. Paul recognized, see, he was opposed to Christ. His name was changed. He went by Saul before, and he was going around persecuting Christians, having Christians harassed and arrested, even overseeing the death of some of them for their faith. And if you remember his story, Jesus showed up and knocked him off his horse and blinded him. I mean, Jesus came aggressively and violently, prevented him from walking that path anymore, and saved him and brought him into the family of God. And Paul's like, I'd rather be a slave of Jesus any day. And he uses a picture of the Roman triumph. I think it's an interesting way to say this is one way that we display Christ. The way we live, the way we carry ourselves, displays who Christ is to us. If you walk in humble obedience to Jesus, it communicates something about Jesus to the world. It communicates that Jesus is worth following, that he has earned the victory in our lives. If sometimes I carry my relationship with Jesus differently, and it's more like I kind of do what I want to do, and if something's not working right, I'll pray about it. Or if I want a little more of something in my life, I'll ask God for it. Well, that puts Christ on display as someone who helps me when I want help. Or the genie in the bottle, like, hey, would you do this for me? The way I carry my submission to Christ communicates something about him. And when we walk in a way that's yielded to him, it shows his victory. It shows his power to the world. And so he goes on and he says, in that verse, thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession. Why are we sometimes proud as Christians? Why do we sometimes think we've arrived, or worse, that I'm better than my non-Christian neighbor? God leads us. He makes us march through this world as captives to show how great Jesus is. We're not the victorious hero in our story. How does that spread the gospel? Jesus is our victorious hero. We should recognize our place as captives of Christ so that we can show how great he is. And when we do, he uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. And that leads us to the second picture, the second way that we display Christ, and that's that when we walk with him, we display Christ's sacrifice first to God. You picture Christ back to the Father. I picture Christ back to God. He says in verse 15, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. As we walk through this world, we picture something to God. We picture a pleasing aroma back to the Father. If you've ever thought about the Old Testament temple, there were different functions there. God used that time with the Old Testament temple and the tabernacle to teach us some spiritual truths. And one of the things that was there physically was this altar of incense. And twice a day, the priests would go in and refresh the incense, make sure it's burning. So there's this continual, sweet-smelling fragrance it represents our prayers to the Father. It represents our love for him. It represents sacrifice. And God is pleased with our gifts and sacrifice to him. And what he's saying here, well, you can listen to it in a couple of different passages. Philippians 4:18, Paul says, I have received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. So one group of people said, hey, we want to help you in your ministry. We want to partner with you in your ministry. And so they were helping Paul with funds and funds he could pass along to others. And he says, that is a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. It's a sacrifice that we give to God. Similarly, in Ephesians 5:2, he says, live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He's like, when Christ offered himself and showed his love for us in his sacrifice, that was a fragrant offering to the Lord. And when we live that way, when we live a life of love, we too are displaying Christ back to God in worship. When I love my brother or sister, or I love my neighbor, or I meet a need, and I show that act of love, God sees that, and he is so pleased. He's happy that we're reflecting Christ that way by showing love to other people and sacrifice. And Paul says it's important to remember that. We display Christ. Christ is seen in us in the way that we show love, and God sees it. And as he continues to talk about that aroma that we put off, he says, you know what? People around you will see it as well. He says, we live this fragrant sacrifice before the Lord among those who are perishing and among those who are being saved. And he continues on this odor idea to say each one of us presents some type of fragrance. Now, everybody's trying to humbly check themselves, right? Do I smell today? Yes, you do. And I'll tell you what that means in a minute. As I thought about that, I remembered this, how like some smells can be good to some, but bad to someone else. I remembered the story, man. God just, like, he says, let me give you an example of this you'll never forget. When Kimberly and I were in South Africa, same trip where I met the Iron Sheik, actually, yes. We were there, we're helping out with these young kids, like probably 10-year-old age, at a camp. We were doing a lot of things, but in this one part, we're working at this camp, helping these kids, kind of out in the middle of nowhere. And I'll have to tell you that the camp food was, you know, some people like camp food, some camps really get it right and do really well. This camp in South Africa, it was a little rough. The food was not great. And we're just kind of making it. It's like, well, there's enough we can eat. We're not going to die. It just doesn't taste very good. Well, there was one day they said, Wednesday night, we're gonna throw you a treat. We're going to give it, you know. And the kids were all excited. Oh, this is going to be great. And so while we were playing and as we're moving toward the place in the cafeteria area where we would eat, I could smell what they were cooking. And I thought I was going to die. It was awful. It smelled like fish, but not good fish. I actually like some fish. It smelled like something you wouldn't want to eat. Like old. I mean, it was, I'm thinking, what in the world are they doing in this kitchen? This is bad. Is this like a fish soup or something? This smells horrible. And all these little kids are going, oh, this smells great. Like, they're really excited about this. They were, like, pumped about this food. And I'm thinking, I know that, like, I live in a different part of the world, but I don't think my nose is that different. And I'm just watching these kids, like, how could you like this smell? So when they finally came to serve the meal, and that is exactly how the food smelled, I was surprised to find it was chicken. It was chicken. I'm like, and I learned something, that being a coastal country, they raised their chickens on fish meal. Yeah, what do we feed chickens? Corn. They probably think our chickens taste like corn. They raise their fish and so these kids are all excited because they're having chicken and it was great. And I'm thinking, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten in my life. It stood out to me because Paul is saying to us in this passage that as we produce a spiritual fragrance different people will receive it differently. For some, it's great. For others, it's awful. He said, we are to God the aroma, the pleasing aroma of Christ. So when we walk with Christ, God is pleased. We picture his son back to him. Among those who are being saved and those who are perishing, to the one we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. Who is equal to such a task? When you think about what happened at the cross, you think about Jesus and all that happened to him and his sacrifice for us. He was falsely accused. He was arrested. You talk about police brutality. The temple guard came with clubs, and they arrested him, and there was kind of this scuffle that happened, and they hauled him off. He went through this kind of a kangaroo court where they brought all these charges and made stuff up. And then the religious leaders sent him over to the Roman officials because they needed their authority. And they took him through a trial, and they're like, we find absolutely no guilt in him. Not one charge you brought. He is completely guiltless of any of this stuff. And yet, in it, they completely bowed to the pressure of the crowd and sentenced him to death, having declared him innocent. It's crazy. It's shameful. And in so doing, to please the crowd, they also had him stripped and beaten and scourged and made fun of and mocked. And then they gave him over to the crowd. And the mob took it from there, and the Roman guards, and he was crucified. The whole thing was awful. The whole thing was without excuse. It's embarrassing, it was shameful. And yet, when I think about all of that, here we sit, coming to the foot of the cross to worship Jesus. Something in it, in Christ's willingness, in his sacrifice, in the spiritual good that happened through all of that mess, was so good that we find it a place of worship. We find it a place where we see the beauty of Christ in the midst of all of the darkness of humanity. And yet someone else could look at it and say, wait a minute, you worship someone who was treated that way and submitted to it? There are some who look at our faith, our belief, at our Lord, and they mock him. They join the crowd. They want nothing to do with it. Why would I follow that? Because Jesus actually taught us, if you follow me, you need to take up your cross every day. This is going to be the same path. You'll be treated the way I was treated. That's over and over again in the Gospels. So come and follow me. And look where it leads and follow me anyways. And we're like, we'll do it. It's beautiful. And others say, I would never do that. That's awful. The same thing when you and I portray Christ, when we live in Christ, when we display Christ, when we love our neighbor like Christ, we can expect different reactions to the same thing we're putting on display. We might have one neighbor, we try to love that neighbor on this side, and they go, I don't want anything to do with that religious stuff, you know, and they have their own way of receiving it and their own view, and they reject it, and maybe they even mock us or cause hardship for us, but then the neighbor that lives on the other side of us goes, really? You love me like that? God loves me like that? And they're amazed at the cross, and they fall in love with Jesus and give their life to him. That is the privilege of carrying Christ and displaying him to the world. Paul lived that. He would travel. He would put Christ on display. Some people would hate him and beat him and mistreat him. But some people would go, that's what I've been looking for. I want to give my life to Jesus. And Paul's like, it's a no-brainer. It's worth it. Even if it's only one person who would give their life to Christ, I don't know who that is, but I'm going to come and put Christ on display with my words, with my actions, because somebody out there needs Jesus. And maybe even someone who's harsh and resistant for a long time, God will soften that heart, and they'll turn and give their life to Jesus. It's a joy and a privilege to put Christ on display, regardless of how people see it, smell it, or react to it. The question that comes back to us is the choice. How are you going to display Christ this week? Will you display him? Do we keep a blanket over that picture? We don't put it on the wall. We bring it to church, right? Because then we have our friends and we all kind of have our Jesus picture with us, right? But then when I go back to work or my family or my neighborhood, that's just not part of it. Or I try to tweak the picture or change it, and I try to present that being a Christian means I'm happy all the time because I don't want people to think that anything negative about me. How are you going to display Christ this week? Or do we just come and say, you know what, I'm a fallen person. I got all kinds of flaws and messes, but you know what, God loves me, and I walk with him. I'm trying, and I'm enjoying the grace that covers all the failures while I do it, and God's given me hope, and he's given me joy. And it's just what it is. So as I'm just like you, I'm holding hands with Jesus while I go through life. Put Christ on display this week. Let people see him in you. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. Be bold. Because God might use your words. God might use your testimony. God might use your faith walk to reach somebody else through you. And man, that's going to be cool. And when he does, come back and tell us. Bring him with you. And let's just see, like, how did we all get here? We all got here because somebody put Christ on display for us. My mom and dad were followers of Jesus, and they taught me about Jesus. I saw him in their life. I gave my life to Christ. Every one of you has a story of somebody else who showed you Christ. Let's be that person and get out there and show Christ to the world. See what God would do. It's an act of worship as much as it is a call to evangelism. It's just our own way of living life as a sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity for us to come and see your word and to be reminded that we carry pictures of Christ. And Lord, thank you so much for giving him to us, for giving us the privilege of having Christ in us, not just for us, but for your glory and for the good of the world around us. So teach us, Lord, how to put Christ on display as well as we can, to just walk with him faithfully, speak of him boldly, and love generously. And Lord, we look forward to it. We pray, Lord, that you would not only open the door and that you would not only give us boldness and clarity, but that you would produce fruit in the people around us, that you would bring people around us who would smell that sweet, beautiful smell of hope, of forgiveness, of life. We want to see Christ give life to the world through us. So, Lord, we offer ourselves to you for your service. In Jesus' name, amen.